Kanja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janava Labha Girivada Dhari. Gopi jana valabha girivada dadi. Jasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi jana valabha girivada dhari. Yasoda nandana braja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Kuntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Charita Amrita Ki Jai, Dai Gaur Premanandi. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda. Today's Today we are reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 23, Life's Ultimate Goal, continuation of Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami. And today we are reading a pinnacle pair, the four topmost qualities of Sri Krishna, text 82 and 83. This chapter has been quite a journey for all of us and all the devotees who have taken or have given their lives to the practice of sadhana bhakti with the ultimate goal, the life's ultimate goal, as the chapters, to attain service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So we first heard all the ingredients of what that relationship was. We heard so many different ingredients and how they affect each other and what are their, what they give rise to. And then, what is the object? What is the ashraya of all that wonderful ingredients? It's the ashraya is Krishna. And so we've been hearing for probably almost a month now of the weekend classes of Krishna's transcendental qualities. And my last time I gave class was with the first 13 qualities, and now somehow or other, both by Lord Jagannath's grace, they were both on Rath Yatra. Today is also Rath Yatra, and we will hear about Krishna's four qualities that only Krishna possesses. We've been hearing, we heard a big chunk of 50, and the 50 are all living entities have the potency, you could say, the innate, inert potency to possess these qualities. And Srila Prabhupada would often give the example that the ocean is a huge mass of quality, and a drop has the same qualities of that ocean, although it is certainly only a drop. And so living entities can obtain up to 50 of those qualities. And then, I think last weekend, you heard two more sets of qualities, or five more qualities that perhaps some of the higher entities like Lord Shiva, Brahma, they have the ability to possess those five. And then there were another five that only Sri Krishna Tattva, Vishnu Tattva can possess. And so these now, these final four, which round out the 64 qualities, will be those that only Sri Krishna possesses in full. So we will pardon my Sanskrit. This is in Sanskrit. I'll try my best. There are two verses, so we'll say them. Sarvadbhuta chamatkara Lila kalola vardhihi Atulya madhura prema Mandita priya mandala Chi jagan manashak arshi Murali kalakujita Asamanordva rupa shri Vishmapita charachara Sarvadbhuta chamatkara Lila kalola vardhi Varadhi Atula madhura prema Mandita priya mandala Shri Jagan Manashakarshini Murali Kalakujita Asamanordva Rupa Shri Vishmapita Charachara. Please chant. Sarvad Bhutta Chamatkara Lila Kalo Lavari Divi Atulya Madhura Prema Mandita Priyamandala Tri Jagan Manashakarshi Murali Kalakujita Asaman Urdva Rupa Shri Vishma Pita Charachara Babuta Chamakara Alarulvar Divi Madhura Madhura Premna Mandila Padamandala Or you Tri Jagan Manashakarshi Murali Kalakujita Asaman Urdva Rupa Shri Vishma Pita Charachara Sarvad Bhutta Chamatkara Lila Kalo Navari Divi Atula Madhura Prema Mandita Priya Mandala Tri Jagan Manashakarshi Murali Kalakujita Asaman Urdva Rupa Shri Vishma Pita Charachara. Okay, we'll do the word for word. Sarvad Bhutta Chamatkara. Bringing wonder to all. Lila of pastimes. Kalola, full of waves. Varidhi, an ocean. Atula Madhura Prema, with incomparable conjugal love. Mandita, decorated. Priyamandala, with a circle of favorite personalities. Tri Jagat, of three worlds. Manasa Akarshi, attracting the minds. Murali, of the flute. Kalakujita, the melodious vibration. Asamana Urdva, unequaled and unsurpassed. Rupa, by beauty. Shri, an opulence. Vishmapita Chara Achara, astonishing the moving and non-moving living entities. Translation. Apart from these 60 transcendental qualities, Krishna has an additional 4 transcendental qualities, which are not manifest even in the personality of Narayan. These are, 1. Krishna is like an ocean filled with waves of pastimes that evoke wonder within everyone in the three worlds. 2. In his activities of conjugal love, He is always surrounded by his dear devotees who possess unequaled love for him. 3. He attracts the minds of all three worlds by the melodious vibration of his flute. 4. His personal beauty and opulence are beyond compare. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him. Thus, the personality of Godhead astonishes all living entities, both moving and non-moving, within the three worlds. He is so beautiful that he is called Krishna. So what do you think, after a verse like this, Prabhupada is going to speak about in the purport? Don't look ahead.
Krishna.
No. 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 It's going to speak about those rascal Mayavadis. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Mayavadi philosophers who have a poor fund of knowledge simply dismiss the subject by explaining that Krishna means black. Not understanding the qualities of Krishna, these atheistic rascals do not accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although the Lord is described and accepted by great personalities, acharyas, and sages, the Mayavadis still do not appreciate him. Unfortunately, at the present moment, human society is so degraded that people cannot even provide themselves with life's daily necessities, yet they are captivated by Mayavad philosophers and are being misled. According to Bhagavad Gita, simply by understanding Krishna, one can get free from the cycle of birth and death. Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti sarjana. Unfortunately, this great science of Krishna consciousness has been impeded by Mayavadi philosophers who are opposed to the personality of Krishna. Those who are preaching this Krishna consciousness movement must try to understand Krishna from the statements given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion. Om Aginata Mirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam. Namaste Gidirajaya Shri Govardhana Namane Ashesha Klesha Nashaya Paramananda Daine Vrindavani Vrinde Vishvapujita Pushpasara Nandani Krishna Jivani Vishvapalani Tulasi Vancha Kabhatarubhyascha Kripasandubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnabhyo Namo Namaha. I'll read the verse again, the translation. Apart from these 60 transcendental qualities, Krishna has an additional 4 transcendental qualities which are not manifest even the personality of Narayan. These are, 1, Krishna is like an ocean filled with waves of pastimes that evoke wonder within everyone in the three worlds. 2, in his activities of conjugal love, he is always surrounded by his dear devotees who possesses unequaled love for him. 3, he attracts the minds of all three worlds by the melodious vibration of his flute. 4, his personal beauty and opulence are beyond compare. No one is equal to him, and no one is greater than him. Thus, the personality of Godhead astonishes all living entities, both moving and non-moving, within the three worlds. He is so beautiful that he is called Krishna. So, the verse and the purport, you could say, are quite different. But Srila Prabhupada always has his ways of being very true to the traditions and the understanding of true Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Of course, we say multiple times, again and again, nirvishesha shunyavadi. This is Srila Prabhupada's glorification, that he has come to root out this understanding of Mayavad understanding. And he's saying very clearly here in this purport that this is ruining any understanding of Krishna, that because they'll say, nirakar, he has no qualities. We just heard 64 transcendental qualities, and those qualities are considered just a minute fraction of a sampling of Krishna's unlimited qualities. Lord Brahma says, it may be quite possible for a materialist or a scientist to be able to calculate the atoms on the earth. So you can just, even just in a single piece of paper, I mean, it'll probably come up with a huge amount. But we're saying the entire earth, the entire universe, jagat. And it may also be possible to count every single snowflake falling. It may be possible. There's possibilities in that. Or it may be possible to count and understand every luminary in the sky throughout the universes. So Lord Brahma is giving some sliver. He's opening the door. There is a possibility, because the material world is finite. There is a finite encasement of the material world. But, this is him coming off of Bimohana, not just illusion, but Bimohana, complete illusion, where he, you know, is completely devastated, just coming out of this not understanding anything about Krishna. And he's saying, we may be able to calculate these things, these very minute things, these very impossible things to our understanding right now, if we think about it. I could never, again, I can barely count everything in my possession, what to speak of everything and all the atoms of those that make up that. But there is absolutely no possibility of being able to enumerate and list out of all of Krishna's qualities, all of his qualities. So you could say then, well, what is the purpose of the 64 listed here? So this is explained that these are for, we're very tiny, insignificant, and when we're trying to understand a personality who has no limitations, no borders, because we're encroached, encaged in a society, a body, and everything that we see limitations. You know, my body does not extend past this last layer of skin. That's my body. So when we're trying to understand a concept of Krishna that is beyond anything that we have, any aptitude or any experience, okay, well, here's a list. Here's something that you can think about and meditate on. Because by thinking about these qualities of Krishna, by focusing our attention on Krishna and his qualities, we become purified. Srinvata Swakata Krishna. As we hear about Krishna, we become purified. So he says that he's asking us, those who have taken up this Krishna consciousness, you should hear how Krishna is not nirakar. Nirakar means without qualities. Nirguna. Nirguna. There's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He grouped a few songs together that were messages for civilized persons. These are for civilization, not for just anybody. Here's a song for those who consider themselves civilized. Nirakar, nirakar, koriya chittakar, keno sadakar, santibhava, bai bar bar. Oh, you're screaming again and again, the Lord has no qualities, the Lord has no qualities. There's void. Why do you insist on disturbing the peace of the Vaishnavas? Having accepted this impersonal philosophy, you consider to be very good, but you are simply wasting so much time. Prabhupada calls them atheistic rascals. Without any devotion for the personality of Godhead, no factual gain is brought by engaging in mere dry arguments. Your birth as a human being is useless. For although you are supposed to be great philosophers, and they also, the Mayavadis feel they're very learned, and if you just think about this picture of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the leader of these great philosophers, he was so intelligent that because all the learning, all the philosophy, all nyaya was in a place, and they wouldn't let it leave that region. I forget, Varanasi or somewhere down there. And he was so intelligent that he would go there and he would study it, and he memorized everything, and he could bring it back to Bengal, and then he was the leader. So intelligent. But when we look at him, what did Lord Chaitanya ultimately, you know, he's listening for 7 days, Mayavad, and then Lord Chaitanya just crushes him with one verse. Atmaramas chamanayo nirgrantya pukramai kurvantya hoitikim bhaktim itambutam guno harid. Itambutam is like most wonderful guna, the qualities of Hari, who is known as Uru Krame. Performs amazing activities. All sorts of Atmaramas, all of those who consider them philosophers or those who are trying to find about themselves and try to uncover the truth about reality of themselves and a relationship, of all of them, those who are taking up Kurvantya, they're taking up the process of ahoitiki bhakti, of unmotivated devotional service. They're relishing itam guno hari, itam bhuta guno hari. They're relishing these qualities. So, I don't know if many of you have seen that old black and white depiction of this scene. And Sarvabhauma is like, he's hearing this, and Lord Chaitanya is standing up, and he's saying this, you're a Mayavadi. Haven't you heard? Krishna does have qualities, Atmaramastama, and he quotes it. So powerful is understanding the qualities that can crush those who say that God has no qualities. And we see that throughout even the semblances of religious activities throughout the world. Yes, God is a person. What does he look like? I don't know. What does he do? I don't know what he does. Well, he just sits there and he gives judgment all the time. But no, he's full of transcendental qualities. And so he concludes the same conclusion as Prabhupada's purport. If I worship Krishna under the shelter of Sri Rupa Goswami and thereby deeply immerse ourselves in the divine love for Lord Hari, itambutam guno hari, and then what will you say to that? He kind of leaves the cliffhanger in this song. What will you say, you rascals? Those Bhaktivinodes and Srila Prabhupada took up that. So when we think of Krishna's qualities and trying to appreciate Krishna's qualities, here they are. These are Krishna. This is Krishna in Vrindavan. And these qualities have been enumerated in so many of the Rupa Goswamis, as Prabhupada says. We should hear from the statements of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So we'll be reading some of these explanation of these four final from Srila Prabhupada's rendition of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. But these four, Lila Madhurya, they have a specific quality in themselves. They are qualities, but these qualities also have quality. And that is explained again in the next chapter, actually. Aishvarya Madhurya Karunye. Swarupa Punyata. Swarupa Punyata is fullness, absolute fullness, Aishwarya, of all opulences, all power and opulence, Aishwarya, Madhurya, all sweetness. If we think of something sweet, there's nothing comparable to Krishna's sweetness. And we think of something powerful, there is nothing Swarupa Punyata can compare to Krishna's Aishwarya. And Karunya, Karunye, there is nothing in comparison to Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy to even reveal that he has a personality. He has, because what did we do? We've turned our head away from Krishna. We've turned our face away from Krishna. We've come to enjoy separately from Krishna. He doesn't have to do anything, but by his inconceivable Swarupa Punyata mercy, he comes and he displays his Aishwarya, his Madhurya, his mercy in all these wonderful activities. And even beyond that, Lord Chaitanya says, Bhakta Vatsalya Atma Paryanta Vadanyata. And of all that kind of stemming from that mercy, the Karunya, he says, this final thing, this is the most. For his devotees, those devotees who take pleasure in hearing about his activities, his qualities, his act, what does he do? It's not that we're asked, when we are practicing bhakti, devotional service, it's not for karma, jnana, for yoga, the perfections of those things, mystic powers, heavenly planets, liberation. These are not in the minds of the devotees who are practicing. They are looking for the Atma Paryanta, Krishna who gives himself. And this is fully exhibited in Vrindavan, where Krishna is 100% theirs. They don't think Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna is worshipable. He's just our friend. He's our lover. He's our son. He's our buddy. They're completely absorbed in these things, and these four especially. Lila Madhurya. Again, they're all filled with Purnita of Madhurya. They're full of the sweetness. So all of his activities of Krishna in Vrindavan are full of sweetness. Everything, every single moment. Prema Madhurya, or sometimes it's called Bhakta Madhurya. Different charis will refer to it. But Bhakta Madhurya is the same. It's of those devotees who are absorbed in Krishna's sweetness, they're obtaining prema from that. And this one is in particular, when Krishna sees this, he wants to experience it too. And so he comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to experience the prema madhurya. Prema vena madhurya, the sweetness of the flute. Earlier this week during a Bhagavatam class, Mahesh Prabhu, he treated us to a nice little mini concert of the Hamsadvani, I think it was called, the Hamsa, the song of the swan, so sweet. But just imagine Krishna's flute, Krishna's transcendental flute. We're attracted to so many things, and just because it's hard to understand unlimited beauty, unlimited opulence, because we're so limited in thinking. Well, because we often, what is Prabhupada's example to try to understand something beyond our understanding? Who is the professor that we look to? The Dr. Frog? Oh, is it this much? Well, okay, is it this much bigger? Is it this much sweeter of a sound? Or is it this much sweeter? Or is it this much more beautiful? Or how about this much more beautiful? No, it's completely unobtainable for our mental kind of, as the gears are rolling in our head, we're trying to figure, well, How much more beautiful? Is okay, just maybe a little. No, it's more than that. It's not comparable. And finally, the Rupa Madhurya, the his most beautiful forms. And so all these four, they are also infused with this Aishvarya, Madhurya, and mercy simultaneously, in full, punya, is full. So even when he's playing with his coward friends or the gopis or his parents, he also has the full Aishvarya there, waiting. Mother Yasoda is holding Krishna, who can't be unheld for a moment because he has given Atma Parjanta, he has given himself to Mother Yasoda. Can't be held for a moment, and she's looking at his teeth, and he's been accused of eating dirt or something, and she looks in his mouth, and there that Aishvarya Punya is there. She sees the entire universe. And when that starts to get in the way, Krishna withdraws it. She starts thinking, well, who am I? Who am I, Yasoda? Who is this boy? And as soon as that happened, Krishna said, no. Let me take that away. Now, don't eat dirt anymore. That was Krishna's conclusion, or Yasoda's conclusion. Not that, my Supreme Lord, why am I holding, let me put him on the altar, a little Lada Gopal or something, No, if he was afraid if she would do that, then how would he eat? How would he, who would take care of him? And the flute, the flute has also all the power. There's a nice list of things that the flute provides. And this is all throughout the Bhagavatam. We can hear them in Krishna book, but they're listed that each note of the flute has this particular opulence or particular power. And so that, Sarega, Mahesh probably could speak a little more. He's trained on these things, or those who are trained in music, but whatever that first note is, sa, perhaps, or do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, te, do. So that first note is so profound, just the first one, and this is the one that Prabhupada speaks about in the qualities of Sri Krishna. I'm not going to, there's a lot here, so I'm just going to read Krishna's attractive flute. He says, in the 10th canto, he gives a reference, Mother Yasoda says, when your son, the gopis tell Mother Yasoda, when your son plays on his flute, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Indra, although they are supposed to be the greatest learned scholars and personalities, all become bewildered. Although they are very great personalities, by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they humbly bow down and become grave from studying that sound vibration. So great personalities, so much greater than ourselves. He goes on, the sound vibration created by the flute of Krishna wonderfully stopped Lord Shiva from playing his dindima drum. And the same flute has caused great sages like the four Kumaras to become disturbed in their meditation. It has caused Lord Brahma, who is sitting on a lotus, to become astonished. And Anantadev, who's calmly holding the planets, was moving in this way and that way due to the transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute. And this is simply the first note of his flute, of the eight notes. This all happens. The universe trembles because Anantadev, who is holding, is trembling. Lord Shiva, he's broken. Lord Brahma is broken out of meditation just from this first note. Aishwarya, the Aishwarya, but it's also Madhurya. It's full of sweetness. And it's full of mercy. It's full of Karunya. The second note, sa, re, so the re tune. The re tune reverses the Yamuna River. Or sometimes it's also said that it solidifies the river. So this is in Bhagavatam as well, I believe. They say that their whirlpools happen when Krishna's playing his flute. The river flows backwards, changing the course of water. Have we ever seen this happen? Just by Krishna's, the second flute. The third stops the moon. The third moon causes the moon to stop. So sometimes on these full moon nights, it gets so bright with a full moon, and it stops just to continue listening to the melody. And I've heard it explained that, because when we hear about the rasa dance pastimes, that it lasted for the entire night of Brahma, which is incalculable, right? 6 billion or something years. But because Krishna's flute is there, and the all time stops, because the moon is the revolving of the is helping with the revolving of the time. So all the luminaries stop. Time stops just by Krishna's third note. The fourth note, the cows become stunned. We hear this also in Krishna book and Bhagavatam, how their ears become cupped just to hear that liquid nectar. They become stunned. We hear that they're eating grass, or the calves suckling. Everything just stops for them. The fifth note attracts the gopi. So we've heard this many in different explanations. The fifth note, when Krishna is playing the fifth note, all the gopis become attracted. The Vamsivata form of Krishna sitting by the Yamuna in the full moon. They run uncontrollably to him. The sixth melts stones and changes the seasons. If you're a Giriraj Bhakta, if you go around, you hear different places. Oh, Krishna, you can see Krishna's footprint, you can see Krishna's flute, you can see this, you can see. But it's because Krishna, when he is playing his flute, the stones, even Giriraj melts. And this was a little fearful during the Giriraj pastime, that under the hill, Krishna, holding one hand, with my other hand, let me play a little flute. And Madhu Mangal said, no, you can't do that. If you do that, Giriraj will melt and fall on top of us. So don't do that. Seventh note, he can manifest all the seasons at once with the seventh note. And then the eighth note, the most special, this note is only for Srimati Radharani. It calls her, comes her running. So it's, again, just one of these qualities. So it's all filled with the Aishwarya, with the Madhurya, with the Karunya. Krishna's Rupa Madhurya. Sva Murtya Loka Lavanam Nir Muktam Lokanam Ninam Giribhistam Smaratam Chittam Paraistam Ikshitam Kriya. Just by looking at Krishna, seeing his form, Swamurtya, you no longer wish to look. Swamurtya. Nirmukta. You will no longer look at anything else. You won't turn your face to another direction because you're seeing Krishna, which is so fulfilling. There's a nice explanation by Bhaktivinoda Thakur on the mercy aspect of Krishna's qualities. And this is from the Kalyanakalpa Tru. He has two songs glorifying Krishna's qualities, and he calls them the Guna Kirtan. And so it's explaining Krishna's qualities, because here we've spent about a month and a half now hearing about Krishna's qualities, and I believe starting the next few weeks we'll be hearing about Srimati Radharani's qualities. So here's what the effect is. Here's the effect of hearing about these qualities of Krishna. And he, of course, is approaching this in a very humble mood. Not that we can ever know Krishna's qualities. Becoming inimical toward the Lord and adoring illusion, I have become madly attached to the material existence. Well, that wasn't the beginning we were thinking of. I thought we were going to hear about Krishna's qualities. But this is our state. This is my state, certainly. However, Krishna is so kind. Karunya, Sarupa Punyata. He is so kind, for he has arisen within this world just for our sake. The moonlight Krishna Chandra is certainly an unlimited ocean of auspicious qualities. He distributes his causeless mercy to all offenders, not hesitating to purify them and relieve them of their afflictions. I have come into this false material existence, adoring the material energy as if it is fit for my enjoyment, and I am seized with the false conception that I am an enjoyer, a Purusha. But Lord Krishna, showing his compassion, Krishna Daya Kodi, showing this great compassion, he descends and forcibly steals away all such false conceptions with the transcendental sound of his flute. So what does it mean, the transcendental sound? The flute means everything. It means there's the gopis are there, the cowherd boys are there. This is in Vrindavan. Krishna doesn't play his flute outside of Vrindavan. He displays his Vrindavan pastimes just to drag us out of this, forcibly stealing us out of this conception that we are the enjoyers. Because he's showing these pastimes in which they are so much enwrapped in Krishna. I'm reading Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu, and the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna was in Mathura or Dwarka, because we hear that, were they just sitting there doing nothing while Krishna was gone? No, they would have messengers going, and they would like send a messenger, let's say at 12 o'clock, two messengers always together. You go and find out what Krishna's doing. Then they wait till 5 o'clock, send another two messengers. And then, you know, 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, send another two. And so these messengers are traveling, and as they're traveling, the messengers who were there before are coming back, and they're constantly hearing about Krishna and his activities, because they can't live a moment without that hearing. There's so much knowing that this is really our life, is to hear about Krishna. Just worship such a jewel like Krishna with special care and attention. Now Bhaktivinoda admits that he is helplessly bound up in the wonderful qualities of Krishna's lotus feet. This is what Srila Prabhupada is asking us. Those who are in the Krishna consciousness movement must try to understand Krishna from the statements given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So this is such an invitation, for us to go and to hear about Krishna, these wonderful four qualities. So much could be spoken of, but we are at the point when I am to stop and ask for questions. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Out of Srila Prabhupada's principal books, which in my humble opinion would be the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna book, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion, why does he particularly mention here, emphasize understanding Krishna from the Nectar of Devotion?
Because although there is a lot of information, a lot of books to read, we always want to hear from the sources. So we are hearing from Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada, he is saying, we are all Rupa Nugas, So we're all following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami very carefully, and by the order, these chapters here, although spoken to Sanat Goswami, this is the context of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that, you know, Rupa Goswami put together. So he is bringing it in such a way that there's no conflict, because he's very careful, and there's a whole section about conflicting appreciations of Krishna, and that's called rasa-bhasa. They don't go together. Things don't go together. So he very carefully puts it in such a way. Here's how we can hear about Krishna in such a very intense way, but also a very careful way. And so we can also understand, well, this is Srila Prabhupada's, his contribution is don't confuse things, because the Mayavadis will try to confuse us, that Krishna has no qualities, or these qualities are exaggerated, Krishna just means black. No, Krishna is in full Swarupa Punyata. He is full of all these qualities. So does that help, or is that a good? Thank you. Any other comments? Yes, Madhumati.
So, Prabhu, you were mentioning about Mayavadi. Prabhupada just mentioned that in the purport. And you're talking about sweetness, appreciating Krishna's sweetness. For some sadhaka like myself, I'm thinking who has Mayavadi instincts within, and yet we want to appreciate Krishna's beauty, his sweetness. Is it just by hearing that we will come to the stage of actually appreciating his sweetness? Is there something else that we need to do? Maybe you could elaborate, because it seems like, I don't know if it's working or doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, again, as Srila Rupa Goswami gives us directions of how to perform devotional service, and he says there's different stages, nishta, or first there's faith, and as we progress, anartha nivritti, we start losing, what are the activities? Hearing and chanting. Lord Chaitanya's hearing and chanting. From the result of Chaito Darpana, the seven perfections that are given there, you know, we cleanse the mirror of the mind. There's some anartha nivritti going on, and there's cleansing, and then it brings us to higher and higher stages. Knowledge comes, and from the knowledge, we engage even further and deeper, to the point where sarvatma snapanam, we are constantly being bathed in the process of chanting Hare Krishna and performing devotional service. And these things will gradually bring us to the stages of real appreciation. So, yeah, we have these tendencies, and it's not just a single book or a single excerpt. It's all of the activities, and we hear about the different powerful activities of devotional service. Lord Rupa Goswami lists also, I think it's another 64 list of devotional activities. Here are the qualities of devotees. But there's also the five, the pancha and the nava, the five and the nine. So the nine are the shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, these activities, and the five most potent are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, association with devotees, not just one, but it's all of these things together, gradually taking, not that, okay, I'm just going to read the Bhagavatam by myself and I'm going to attain, we may become dry, or we may become confused, but along with like associating with devotees, and then hearing and conversing, and then Rupa Goswami's other instructions of, with real love and real affection, you'll reveal your mind, and you'll be able to converse about these things. Oh, and then how about adding some chanting Hare Krishna in there? Oh, yes, sarvatma snapanam. We'll start bathing the soul and start cleansing ourselves. Oh, and then how about, let's not just think of our mental capacity. What about our visual and our tactical activities of making garlands and worshiping the deity and cooking and serving and looking and smelling, everything that engage. Oh, add that in there. And then, you know, going to a place where that all these activities are simply the only activities that are focused on. All of these activities will gradually bring us up to the point where, oh, yeah, Krishna is pretty sweet. And a lot of times, it's when we are separated from those things that we really recognize it. We recognize, oh boy, I haven't gone to, you know, some place, or I haven't done this one activity for a long time. I very much miss it. And so there's like some, you're seeing that, oh, there is some. And in the Bhagavatam it says, here are indications of that it's working. Just as nobody has to tell you when you're full, when you're eating, oh, you're full, you're satisfied, your desire for eating is done, and your nourishment is all there. So bhakti parishanu bhavau bhraktir, that by this transcendental hearing about Krishna, our devotion will rise, our bhakti, parishanu bhava, we will see Krishna in everything and all the activities around us. We will see how Krishna is the source, or we may see Krishna directly. And viraktir, we'll have a distaste for anything that's contrary to those activities. So it's a gradual process. We hear it over and over again. I know it's a gradual process. We apply ourselves, and over time, I know you're tasting. It's very sweet for you, I know. Okay, anything else? Last comments? Okay.
We discussed Shri Krishna's Roop Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, Leela Madhuri, Prem Madhuri, but since we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Mahaprabhu's Vadanya, Audarya and Karunya, so can you put some light on it or relate?
Yeah.
Kali Yuga
Pavana, sure. Yeah, Krishna comes as the Kali Yuga Pavana. He comes to give us this. And you know, the very first verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the magnanimity of Lord Chaitanya has come to give us something we've never understood. These, nobody on a path of devotion has thought about these four qualities of Krishna. And as I mentioned, that this one, in his activities of love, he's always surrounded by his dear devotees, and they have this unlimited love for him that even Krishna himself can't understand. So how does he understand it? He comes as Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu is tasting it. He's tasting this in the same activities he's doing. All of his personal associates, all of his activities. And today, like on Ratha Yatra, this is when it would come to a pinnacle. This would become a zenith for Lord Chaitanya, that he would really be tasting this. Not just, it's just, you know, some festival, we get together, we chant Hare Krishna, we pass out some, you know, there's preaching and that, but he was tasting it. He was, oh, the Lord of my heart, oh, Lord of my heart, where are you? You know, I remember those moonlit nights on the Yamuna when, you know, you would be playing your flute and we would come to you. I want to take you back there. I don't want to go to Kurukshetra. This is Lord Chaitanya's motive, Ratha Yatra. It was directly appreciating Krishna's full qualities and fullness and in love and great madhurya and great love. And what was his? He wanted to share it. Not just once a year, as Srila Prabhupada. We have it hundreds of times a year with many festivals all over. We're freely giving it out. And Lord Chaitanya, that is the mood of Lord Chaitanya's. Was that...
Thank you so much for the Nectarian class.
Sorry. Thank you so much. Oh, Stididi Muni, my old friend.
So I'm driving in, and I know I didn't get the whole point, but there was some mention of where do you see rivers flowing backwards?
Where? Oh, yeah, that was one of the notes of Krishna's flute. the river flows backwards.
But
where do you see it? You see whirlpools. A whirlpool is goes backwards, and sometimes you'll see with, you know, if you're in a nice raging river, you'll see little.
I get a punchline.
Okay, here's what was I thinking? Of course, you have a punchline.
Thinking, right? So you do see rivers flowing back. Of course, this is also Krishna's potency, right? It's not when the tide comes in a big rivers. When the tide comes in, when there's a powerful tide, the river will flow a little bit backwards.
There you go.
And of course, in some level, maybe Krishna's playing his flute too there, but I that's all I got.
Thank you. We see it little bits, and but when you see the tide coming and you see it, like Lord Chaitanya, when he sees a sand dune, you think of Govardhan. Now you can think of Krishna's third note on his flute. Yeah, all going to Srila Prabhupada.